President Trump has also temporarily suspended the expedited processing of visas that allow companies to hire skilled workers from other countries. They're H-1B visas. That's what they're called, and they're used by many businesses in Massachusetts. Two reporters from WBUR's new business and technology team, known as Bostonomics, wanted to find out just how popular these visas are here. So WBUR's Asma Khalid and Zeninjor Enwemeka are in the studio to tell us more. Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
So, Zeninjor, most H-1B visa data are not public, but the first step in getting these visas is public. So what did you find in the data, and what does it tell us about the use of these visas in Massachusetts?
Yeah, so it's important to note the data that we looked at. So we looked at data from the Labor Department, and that data really tells us which companies are pursuing H-1B workers. So we focused on that because it really gave us a clear picture of the demand for H-1B visas.
And as Zeninjor was saying, I mean, a part of why we did that is because some of the very specific data about who's getting these visas is behind a FOIA request, and it's really hard to get that information. When we collectively looked at all the data, we saw that Massachusetts ranks number 9 of all the states when it comes to the number of, you know, H-1B workers it's pursuing. Number 9 is pretty high up there, but, I mean, I'll admit, it might not be as high as some folks might think, given how popular the STEM fields are here. And that could be just that because, you know, the state itself is producing a larger percentage of domestic STEM graduates than, say, a state like Florida. And so perhaps it doesn't need to import as many.
I see. So which industries or companies are relying on these visas the most in Massachusetts? Zeninjor?
So it tends to be a lot of tech and financial services companies. And that's true when you look nationally and also when you focus specifically on the companies here in Massachusetts. There's also several consulting companies as well as outsourcing firms that show a strong demand for H-1B workers. So as much as we think of Massachusetts as this booming innovation economy, I think one thing that is surprising is that even here in Massachusetts, outsourcing or consulting companies are also among those top firms that are seeking H-1B workers. So those are companies like Deloitte and Cognizant.
Are these highly paid jobs?
So the median salary in 2015 was $79,000.
And Deb, what we did online is we created this pretty amazing, if I can say so, I thought it was pretty cool, pretty cool chart.
That's amazing.
Where you can see the proposed minimum wage for every one of these labor applications that was filed. Some are really low. I mean, some are like $36,000, but others are really high. I mean, we looked at all the applications for, say, Google. They're all above six figures.
Mm. And you also have a chart that shows exactly who is holding these visas, where they're from. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So this is another great chart that we have on the story if you go online to WBUR.org. Basically, it shows that the overwhelming majority of visas go to young people from India. So 70% of H-1B recipients in 2016 were from India. After that, it's China with 12%. And there was a report that found that 71% of all H-1B applications that were approved were for workers between the ages of 25 and 34.
Now, we should say that the H-1B visa program is controversial, and there have been efforts to change it, and there's legislation pending to change it. And the big debate is, do these visas take away American jobs or jobs from Americans, and is it just a way for people to import cheap labor? Asma, what do folks tell you about that debate about the visa program?
I think, Deb, you hit at it exactly in terms of it just being such a contentious issue and how people seem to feel about whether or not there is a legitimate tech shortage. I posed this question to Ron Hira. He's a professor at Howard University down in Washington, D.C. He is a skeptic of the idea of there really being a tech shortage. But look, Ron is also this guy who has studied economic policy, specifically H-1B visas, for decades. And this is what he had to say.
If there were really a shortage, then you would see wages going through the roof. Instead, wages have been flat.
And Deb, he sort of, in a joke, told me that, you know, maybe there's a shortage of 4.0 MIT graduates, but there's no shortage of ordinary skilled IT workers. In fact, he says he sees this more as a situation of age discrimination. I mean, we just heard Zeninjor point out that a lot of the labor force that's coming into the country is between the ages of 25 and 34. And in the cases when we've seen these IT workers come in and replace folks, say, in a company Northeast Utilities, which I cited in a story, you know, a few weeks ago, Northeast Utilities, now Eversource, laid off hundreds of IT workers, replaced them with workers, contractors from India. A lot of the folks who lost their job were significantly older. I mean, this sort of is all kind of in the weeds, but basically the point is a lot of folks feel really strongly about this. But when we speak to people here locally in the sort of Cambridge, Boston, high tech ecosystem, almost everyone tells us that there is an extreme tech shortage. I mean, everyone tells us that it's really hard to find labor, and this has been a consistent problem for some years in Boston. We spoke with Jack Little. He's the CEO and co-founder of MathWorks. If you see our chart online, MathWorks is one of the top companies pursuing H-1B workers in Massachusetts. And let's hear what Jack had to say.
There's always been a shortage. It's always been hard to find talented programmers and to hire engineers that specialize in the types of things we do.
So, Deb, I guess in a nutshell, when you hear both Jack and Ron, it almost seems like it's totally plausible for both the idea of there being a tech shortage and there not being a tech shortage. Both of those things could potentially be true depending on which company you're talking to. I mean, look, like we said, if you look at the applications for Google, these are, you know, companies that are willing to pay really sort of hefty salaries. But at the same time, there are outsourcing companies, and we see a number of them operating in Massachusetts.
So the debate will continue.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Deb, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, it's worth noting that there are bills currently in Congress that are aimed at overhauling the H-1B visa program. And those bills really try to crack down on outsourcing companies in particular.
All right. WBUR Bostonomics reporters Asma Khalid and Zeninjor Enwemeka, thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You can dig through the numbers and find more business and technology stories that we're working on at WBUR.org/Bostonomics. Or you can follow Zeninjor and Asma on Twitter at Bostonomics. That's Boston OMIX. Stay with us. Coming up, how President Trump's budget plan could affect Massachusetts. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.